This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough studio. The Phil Sim Spotlight is brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Oh my gosh. Visit balanceofnature.com. So the two best friends are going to be in a booth together on October 20th when we were supposed to be eating Phil Sim's meat and drinking Phil Sim's alcohol at Phil Sim's house. And we're not doing that anymore. It's going to be Jerry, Boomer, and Phil in a booth together calling Giants Eagles, which is very exciting news. Phil, good morning. How are you?
Gio, I'm doing okay. My phone systems are down, so I'm on my cell phone, so I hope it works out. And listening to you, I just thought I heard a hint of sarcasm when you said, oh, my favorite spot coming up. Yeah. Okay. I'm really excited to talk to you too.
No, it actually is. I really do enjoy. There was no sarcasm there. There really isn't. I get excited for this every week, and every week there seems to be something new and fun to talk about. And this week it's the two of you guys being reunited in a Compass Media Networks booth on the same day that we were supposed to be enjoying watching football at your home. So I'm a little bit disappointed, quite frankly, that we're not going to be at your house and you guys are going to be calling the game. But whatever, I'll get over it.
Well, you know, a couple things. I'm disappointed, too. I could have made it work and was going to, but this came up, and then Boomer stuck his big, fat face. Now he's going to be in the booth with me. I was going to enjoy the game, maybe with Jerry and the Boomer. You know, okay, it'll be fun. We'll do it. And, Gio, if you're on the sidelines, that will be the bet.
Yeah, I really would be. And I do actually have 2 full years of football. It's college football, but it was ACC. It was University of Pittsburgh. Sideline experience on the radio, working with a legend in Bill Hillgrove, who called Steelers games for about 30 years. So I'm not, I wouldn't go out. I'd take this thing seriously. I would do the job.
Oh, 100%. Right. We're all going to take it seriously. I'm just letting you know right now, I need my space in that booth.
But Boomer, trust me, nobody really wants to sit close to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, we understand why.
As long as we understand each other.
We understand each other. And don't be talking about, oh, Phil's going to be, you know, all Giants. No, I'm not. I did the Giants-Cowboy game, and I didn't get one complaint about me favoring the Giants.
Maybe nobody listened.
Oh, finally, Boomer comes with a... remark back. It's the first time ever.
Okay. All right, handsome. I'm glad you're in a good mood this morning once again.
And before we get into the football here.
Don't be so damn shocked when I'm in a good mood.
Well, it doesn't happen very often.
It's that damn balance
of
nature.
In a good mood.
It makes them happy.
Makes them happy is right.
It doesn't hurt. Let me tell you. Listen, Gio, you can get on it. You know what I like?
I'm waiting. Last week you told me you were sending me some. I still don't have it. So that's maybe why I'm in a curmudgeonly mood.
All right. Well, tell Al to text me your address, and I'll send you some.
Perfect. Absolutely. I will do that. Now,
he loves him some onions.
So, yeah, onions. if you listen to the show, you paid attention. Boomer calls me the king of scuttlebutt because information just comes to me around the radio station and what people are doing. And I don't know why. I don't even ask for the information, but the information comes to me. And it actually extended out of this building into MetLife Stadium, where I got scuttlebutt that you were taking pictures of yourself on the wall at the facility. So if there was a picture of you up at the facility playing quarterback at a game, you were taking pictures of that picture.
No, it's just not true. Whoever told you that's a big fat liar.
So, there we go. Oh, so, got a trusted source. Got a trusted source.
Hold on. There were pictures of White, Tittle, Charlie Connolly, all these people. So I said, oh, let me take some of those, whatever. And I was going to put them out. I don't think I ever did. Okay. You know, it was a good thought, but I didn't follow through with it. And my daughter was at the game. And, of course, my daughter, Deirdre, she's a wonderful daughter. Love her to death. He went around the damn stadium and took pictures of everybody wearing my jersey. I was like, Pierce.
That's great, though. That's cool.
That was great. But did you watch any of the game? Because you got like 100 of these pictures. And, you know, but oh, well. But no, I don't take pictures of myself.
Okay.
My God, boomer.
Right. Yeah, that sounds like something I would do. I'm sure. Exactly. 100%. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes, 100% it would be. All right, so let's just get into this now. So
let's do it.
Your Giants have got to go out to Seattle. Got to play Geno Smith, who's thrown for more yards than any quarterback in the league. He's averaging almost 300 yards passing per game. DK Metcalf, three straight games over 100 yards receiving. This is going to be a real test for this Giant defense. And I'm just wondering if you think that they can somehow corral the explosiveness of the Seahawks.
That is the big, big question. You said it. I mean, you look at their Geno Smith, first off, he's a gunslinger. That's the way to say it. He is not afraid to throw it down the field, throw it into tight spots. He can stay in the pocket, boomer, and he can take hits. I tell you, Geno's played really well ever since he's been out there in Seattle. But I was thinking of this yesterday. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith and Jigma. Oh, and I got Kenneth Walker running the football. And Carbonate, the other running back, is, you know, really good too. So, man, Seattle, it'll be a tough task for the Giant defense. And I don't know what they're going to do about covering DK Metcalf, because he's like a Calvin Johnson. He's big. He can run you over. He can run by you. And just watching him play, looks like he is really so into it now more than ever. And that'll be a tough task for the Giants.
And the one thing I will say about Seattle, they have seen, you know, the 3-1 and the first real team with a real quarterback and a real offense that they have played against were the Lions this past weekend, Monday night. And the Lions just torched them offensively. And as we know, Jared Goff was 18 of 18. Best game ever in terms of not missing a pass for a game over 15 attempts. And he was on point, and it looked like their defense really had a hell of a time staying with him. So the real question now on the other side of the ball is, can Seattle's defense be somewhat susceptible to passing down the field? And Malik Nabers leads the league in 35 catches. He's a Giant wide receiver. Wandale Robinson's fifth on that list. Can the Giants keep up offensively with the Seattle Seahawks?
Well, that's a lot there. I'll say that. You know, Seattle, when you throw against them, I would think this, you know, and I watch teams do it. You know, if you block it up, in other words, you keep extra guys to block and you can get it down the field, you can have some success. You know, the Giants on the offense, the run that I've seen the Giants love the most is an inside run. I'm not going to get technical here, but Detroit, and I know they have a really good offensive line, they wore, you know, the Seattle defense out with those type of runs. So that gives me some hope about the Giants run game. And then, you know, Seattle, it is like they're one of those defenses, the hair's on fire, they run around everywhere. And so, you know, screens, you know, boot passes where the quarterback fakes and goes the other way, things like that really give them trouble. And I would expect the Giants to do all this against that. And then, of course, the other thing, Boomer, I don't know if you ever played out there. Of course, you played in Seattle, probably in the Kingdom, right?
In the Kingdom, yeah, not outside, yeah.
Well, they're both ridiculously loud, and I had terrible success in the Kingdom. And, of course, now the Giants got to deal with crowd noise, too. But let me kind of – I'll go back to this with the Giants. Last week, you know, I was there doing the game, and when I watched the game again during the week, I went, Daniel Jones didn't play well. He played really well. He moved around, got time, made the throws. some power throws. Did he miss a couple of deep ones? Yes. You know, I can see why he did it when I watched it. But overall, his accuracy, power throwing the ball, and buying time. That's what he did. He bought time to get guys open and made a lot of good throws. So I didn't look at that game and go, wow, Daniel Jones has got to play better. I see a lot of other problems, you know, that are probably with the team, and it's not always just the quarterback.
All right, Boomer and Geo with Phil Simms on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It was a brutal game to watch on Sunday between the Jets and the Broncos. I know the weather was a factor, but just rough. Why was the Jets' passing game so poor on Sunday?
Well, I think the first thing is that the Denver defense is, I kind of warned everybody last week talking about it. They're fast, they're aggressive. Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, there's not a down that he doesn't like to blitz on. So that's the biggest thing. And they got a secondary that can cover. They were all over the Jets. I mean, the Jets had about 30 chances to win the game, that's for sure. But the Denver defense is very fast. The week before, they played Baker Mayfield, who was hot as could be, and they sacked him 7 times. And I think after you watch the game and you saw Denver's defense, that you understand why. And in big moments, they decided they were just going to charge the Jets' offense, sack Aaron Rodgers, make him hurry the throws. And once again, the coverage was really good, and all the false starts that you saw in the game. And somebody says, why do you think they had all those? Because those linemen were putting their hands on the ground going, what the hell's coming next? And you know, it rattled the offensive line, I think, all the pressure, the blitzes and things like that. And it, and of course, Denver found a way to win the game, and just with an awful, awful offense display against the Jets.
Yeah, I'll tell you, pre-snap penalties killed the Jets too, and the whole snap count fiasco and all this other stuff. And you and I,
well, you know, Boomer,
yeah.
What's it going to be like out in Seattle this week?
Well, it's going to be tough for the Giants, but you know, with the Jets playing against Minnesota in London, it's a different story. Yeah. But you know, the story was. Rob Saleh talking about the snap count right after the game and then changing the tune the next day. And we all know that's a part of Aaron's repertoire is his snap count. Don't be messing with that, especially when you're a defensive head coach. Don't tell me, the quarterback who's 40 years old, how the hell to do the snap count. I'll handle that. So you just worry about the defense. That's kind of the vibe I was getting from the Jets earlier in the week. You know, the other thing, too, we talked about this team early on. So I give Gio credit because he said that Sam Darnold was going to have a comeback year. You said you loved the signing of Sam Darnold just because of Kevin O'Connell and how Kevin O'Connell was going to open it up for Sam Darnold once J.J. McCarthy got hurt. Gio says Kevin O'Connell is a coddling type of a coach. Do you agree with Gio's assessment of Kevin as a head coach?
100%. He is that kind of guy. And, you know, he supports the quarterback. Listen. First and foremost, they got a great receiving core. They got speed in the backfield. They got a pass-blocking offensive line. And Sam Darnold is throwing it really well. Same thing I kind of said about Gio is the same. He's aggressive. They throw it down the field. They're fun to watch. And the other thing is, every time I watch them, I go, why are more teams copying kind of what they're doing when they play these games? But, you know, that's a different thing. But, yeah, Sam Darnold's doing great. Kevin O'Connell, that's a great way to say it. What, how do you say that he's a
coddle guy?
Coddle a quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah, he likes to coddle people.
No matter
what
they do, he comes off the field and Kevin O'Connell's all over him, and, you know, it's always good. He's one of those guys. He's always positive. And Sam Darnold is really playing well. And the big thing about that for the Jets, you've got to deal with that offense, and then you've got to deal with the defense by Minnesota, Brian Flores. He does everything. You know, they give up a lot of plays. You know, the pass game, people are throwing the ball on them. But when it comes down to big moments, they're going to blitz you. And their blitzing is phenomenal. And that's how they're winning games with their defense and, of course, the offense. But that's something in a tough week going over to London and now dealing with that defense and all the blitzes they run. Boomer, they're running blitzes I've never seen. I'm serious. Ever. It's so clever, and I just think, when are they going to run out of ideas on that side? But
wow, you know, you're 30 years older than Aaron Rodgers, so maybe he's going to see something he's never seen before either.
Well, yeah. I think there is true. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you're right. You guys talk about, everybody does. This is his offense, and so much about it. The snap counts, hey. Look, I'll go to the training camp when they're practicing. He's always working the snap count. Everybody's used to it. So I would think last week was a little bit of an outlier. And, you know, the receivers, you got to get on. You got to have the, you know, you got to figure out what's in Aaron Rodgers' head. Back shoulders, throwing it front, whatever. And they still don't have a great feel for that with all the practice. And I know they work on it. And Aaron Rodgers, his biggest thing, he wants to throw it down the sideline, lead you down if you're beating your guy. But he loves throwing back shoulder throws. And, you know, I expected so far this year to see more of them that are completed and not, and it's incomplete. The receiver looks at Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers is looking at them. So, you know, they got to keep working on it because it's a big part of the offense.
Yeah, they're not on the same page. When do you think Devontae Adams is going to be in Florham Park? That'll be next week.
Well, you know, after watching the receiver, whatever they call that, Peyton Manning Productions last year and seeing Devontae Adams part of it, I went, oh my gosh, he's going to be somewhere else next year. So it's just a matter of time, it looks like, I would think. I heard you talking about it. I think you're right. I think everybody saw this coming. And I honestly, I was kind of surprised it didn't happen maybe in training camp or before it went this far, but. You know, so we'll see.
Yeah, not everybody saw it coming. Just one of us saw it coming. The other thing too, I want to ask you about is about Garrett Wilson. And you know, he made a comment yesterday. I don't know how you take it. I kind of take it as I watch football on Sundays. A lot of teams doing a lot of different things. We don't do a lot of those things. We do things, but we don't do a lot of things.
Well, he's right. That comment is true. I don't know if I'd go out and say that to the press. And you, when you're saying that, it's basically like, I need more things to do and you got to get me the football more. That's what I see in that comment. When you say that, you know, you're just bringing up, you know, some more trouble with your football team. And so, yeah, they got to get on the same page and they all want more catches. And I know the receivers, you're sitting there in the meetings and you see other teams throwing the ball down the field, everybody making these big catches where they're wide open. Oh my gosh. You see, when you watch these top offenses, they get guys wide open deep down the field. The Jets have really not done that. And the last thing I say about the Jets, just before I forget, they got this guy in the backfield, Braylon Allen. Give him the ball more. Man, just, you know.
Yeah, but Breece Hall is supposed to be like the second coming of Le'Veon Bell. I mean, Breece Hall was supposedly this, you know, all pro best young running back in the league and had a terrible game last week. I mean, I don't know what he was doing last week, but it was an awful game. And very rarely is it so obvious how awful the game was. I wanted to ask you about one play in last week's game was 4th and 10 and Aaron gets caught on a corner blitz with nobody blocking him.
From the left.
Yeah. From the left. And look, they had 7 guys up at the line of scrimmage. Breece Hall looked like he was going into one of the A gaps. One of the guys dropped out, and I don't know if he was responsible for the corner coming off the back, but Aaron looked like he thought he was going to be blocked. And I'm wondering whether or not that was just a problem with the offensive scheme, or was it Aaron caught off guard, or was it Breece Hall doing the wrong thing?
I, you know, it was hard to tell. I would say, if I had to guess, it was just a problem with the scheme. And that would be my first thought. When I saw it, I go, okay, I try to figure it out who's got who, but it was, everybody was going right. So I just think it was a problem with the scheme. But think of it this way. The Jets had problems with the Denver Broncos and the blitz. So what do you think this game is going to be about this week with Minnesota? So you know how that is, and Gio, when you play a blitzing team, it makes you fear because you can get embarrassed by not blocking people, not seeing it, not doing the right things. The receiver changes route, all that. So, man, it's going to be a rough and tough game for sure for the Jets, and their offense has just got to play better.
Is Rob Saleh a good head coach?
Is he a good head coach? Well, you know, the old saying is, you are what your record says you are. So, you know, look.
So then the answer is no.
What's that?
Then the answer is no.
Well, you know, I'm not the good guy to ask that to because I played for, you know, guys that were loud, rough, and, you know, always, and, you know, Robert Saleh is the opposite, man. I'd hate to play poker against him because he doesn't even change his facial expressions during the game. He just stands there and walks around and whatever. So, you know, many things about being a head coach. You can only be who you are. You can't create a personality that fits maybe what people think you should be. So he's doing it his way, and his way is not, it's not working great right now. So it's okay to go in and challenge the football team and call people out. My gosh. And you know, you can't be, once you do that and do it enough, the team gets used to it and they can take it. You know, so if you do it every once in a while, I don't know. To me, that doesn't work. You got to be consistent in the way you treat the players and team. And we'll see where it goes with Robert Saleh.
Phil, great talking to you as always. We will talk to you next week, and very, very excited for the Jerry Recco, Boomer Esiason, and Phil Simms booth. It might be once in a lifetime, but once in a lifetime is probably too much. So excited for that. We will. We'll see you next time.
One of us could get thrown out of the booth.
Well, wait. So, Gio, you know, listen. The coming here and watching games that I do want to. I was going to fix it where we could have done that, but then I got this opportunity, and then, of course, then Boomer butted in and did it too. So he's going to be there. So we'll live with that.
Well, by the way, I did not butt in. I got asked yesterday morning by Jerry Recco if I would do it. And I said, yeah, I think I could do it, because that was the day we were supposed to go to Phil Simms' house. And then Rosner sends us an email and says, you're busy with the Giants. He never said to me anything about you doing any calling of games.
So well, I didn't realize I stuck to the, you know, doing something to the Giants, but I could have got out of it. So I was going to do that.
Well, how am I supposed to know that? I didn't know that.
Well, hell, I didn't know it either until just a couple days ago, so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So don't sit here and tell me that I butt in, because I didn't butt in.
Well, Boomer, come on. They all know how you are, so yeah, we know you.
All right.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Because Boomer just takes the whole segment. He never lets you talk.
No, it's fine. Like I told you, you just spill something over there. You're right.
No.
Yeah. I told you. What happens is I let him have this moment, and then 9 o'clock he puts his feet up, and then I take us to 10. All right. We'll see you next week. All right.
Have me on. All right. Don't forget. Do it for Phil.
Phil. Promo code Phil. Sim Spotlight brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Let's get to Jerry, who's got more Mets and some NFL for us. What's up, Jerry?
Good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Indeed, we start with the Mets and the Brewers last night in Milwaukee.
Now the pitch. Breaking ball. Hit on the ground. Right side. Base hit. Right field. Nimmo is in. Vientos around third, coming to the plate. The throw goes to third. Two-run score. Stopping at second is Alonso. J.D. Martinez with a two-run single. And the Mets have put up a five spot here in the fifth inning. They go in front of the Brewers, 8-4.
And that was Howie Rose.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
That was less than 24 hours after they had the seven-run inning in Atlanta. Mets beat the Brewers 8-4. They were down 2-0. They scored 3 in the second. Down 4-3. They score 5 in the fifth. And that capped the scoring 8-4 the final as they take game one of this wild card series. Here was Carlos Mendoza. My team just fights.
They punch. We punch back. They took the lead again. And then we were able to bounce back and continue to punch and just continue to stay aggressive. We put the ball in play when we need it. We ran the base as well. We put pressure on them.
Did all of that, no doubt. And Francisco Lindor was asked about the craziness of, you know, Milwaukee to Atlanta, back to Milwaukee. He says, really, nothing unusual.
you fly into a place and you got to go play a game. You know, it's, we've done it all year long. It's just yesterday we had a lot of champagne, but usually we do things like this. So.
And yeah, this was just another game on the calendar. How about Severino? Luis Severino on the pitching struggled early, but certainly settled in late.
For him to go out there six innings, it's extremely important for us, you know. So hats off to him, and hats off to Mandy for trusting him. And then Buto and Stanek came in and did their job.
Didn't you think he got a little squeezed there by the umpire in the beginning?
I would agree. Yeah, and he was, you could see he was frustrated too with it, no doubt. And you heard the what he just said there, that Mendy trusted him. So now we take it to the other side. Freddie Peralta pulled after four. Here was Pat Murphy post-game asked about that.
What did you see in Peralta? He had obviously retired nine guys in a row, but was there something that you saw that made you think, well, he's not at his best?
I don't think he retired nine in a row, but maybe 3, 6, well, one was a hard contact sack fly to center.
So now you go to Peralta in the clubhouse. Doesn't seem thrilled about being taken out.
It's not the first time. It happened in the past too. I don't understand the reason that I was took out of the game, but there's nothing I can do about it. And in the moment too, they just came and like, you don't, that's it.
Schism spot.
Schism!
Yeah. Schism spot.
Schism in Milwaukee. He said there was really just one bad inning, and then I was doing really well.
My first inning was great. The third one was very quick, the fourth too. And we had the lead back then too, but they didn't let me come out.
All right, so then the follow-up from the reporter.
Freddie, how would you describe your emotions? I mean, are you angry that you didn't get a chance to come back for the fifth? Are you disappointed or...
I prefer to not answer that question, so no problem.
I would say angry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people always do that. It's like a classic miscue in asking a question. It's like throwing out every emotion they want the guy to say. Are you angry? Are you disappointed? Are you upset? Are you this? Are you that? Just say, how you feeling?
And by saying nothing, he said a lot.
Certainly.
Game two tonight, 7:38 Odyssey Mets Radio. Elsewhere, the Padres shut out the Braves 4-0.
First pitch, Tatis swings, sends it in the air, very high to left, very deep. Laureano is back. You got to be kidding me. A long home run. First pitch, first at bat, 2-0.
And first inning, that was Padres Radio with the call. Here was Tatis. They win 4-0. Solid night.
I feel like we played baseball really good today. Taking care of business, play really clean baseball all the way around, and this is the result that we have been getting all year.
Kyle Higashioka also homered. Michael King threw 7 with 12 strikeouts for the win. The Tigers topped the Astros 3-1. Tarek Skubal 6 innings there, and the Royals beat the Orioles 1-0. Cole Reagans went 6. Bobby Witt Jr. an RBI single. All right, so I went and found this Garrett Wilson thing with Bart Scott yesterday on ESPN Radio. So I'm going to play you the question now.
Yeah, it's very important to play the question.
Important to know that there's 34 seconds of a question that precedes this. So
this is a CeeLo question?
This question is probably almost a minute long.
So, right. So there.
Oh, so it's a CeeLo question.
I didn't put because his answer's really long.
No, I know.
Or could have been a question like from one of the moderators last night in the vice presidential debate, I suppose.
Well, also, and Garrett Wilson put himself out, posted himself that he goes, I didn't just comment that. This was my answer to a long, drawn-out question.
He was.
So, yeah.
Now, the question I give you is still 17 seconds. There was another 34 on top of it. So, here you go.
Are you guys struggling with your identity and trying to find it? Because it feels like you guys try a lot of different stuff. You guys have a lot of good players, but sometimes when you have a lot of good players, it makes things discombobulated.
I don't think we do a lot of different stuff, you know, to be honest. You know, when I watch football on Sundays, I see a lot of teams run and mix it up and stuff like that. I don't feel like we do that. So I think we know our identity is just about going out and executing it or figuring out whether or not it's going to work. You know, I truly think that we are not trying. I don't think we're trying a lot of different things. I know personally I haven't. You know, my route tree hasn't been what it's been on the last 2 years as far as the stuff I've been running and stuff. So, it's just about figuring out whether or not it's it's the right identity. And if it's going to win games this year, you know, if it's going to do what we need it to do, give the defense the run support they need to be the best defense in the league.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know, he's questioning the offensive coordinator 100%. 100%.
Yeah, see, I disagree with that.
What I hear is we don't do a lot of stuff. We do our stuff, but we don't do a lot of stuff. I watch a lot of football on Sunday. I don't see us doing that.
Yeah, and I can see how you hear it that way. The way I hear it is that Bart Scott saying that, are you struggling to find your identity because your guys are doing a lot of different things? And he's saying, no, we're not doing a lot of different things. We have an identity.
We just have to execute better.
Just remember, right? This is also a team that was trying to hire somebody that was going to be the Artie party is who it was going to be, to sit on top of Nathaniel Hackett to become a little bit more Arthur Smith is who it is.
Listen, like,
to me, it sounds like he's frustrated with the offense. Look, they had two good games where I thought they got better, and then they took a major step back this game, and the frustration on the field, ball dingers, breakdowns, all the different things that come out of this game against the Broncos. And then this comment here lead me to believe that, you know, it's like, what are we doing? How come all these other guys are running wide open? What are all these other teams doing offensively that we're not doing? And it sounds to me like he is questioning as to whether or not the offense is creative enough to get people open and to get him more involved.
Well, I mean, he also says in the answer, I think we have the right identity.
Mm-hmm.
Says that in the answer.
But he also says that he watched football on Sundays and we don't
do a lot
of
those things. In response to Bart Scott saying, I see you guys doing a lot of different things, and he's saying, we're not doing a lot of different things. We already have our identity. You know, so, and I see other teams doing a lot of other different things, but this is what we're doing. We just got to execute it, and we have the identity. So, I don't know, but Garrett Wilson, he wouldn't have put out that video himself if what he was trying to say was interpreted the right way by Rich Cimini. He said, because he saw all that stuff in text, it looks terrible in text, and he's like, no, I didn't just say that. You need to have the context of the question here. Okay. If he wanted to put out there that he was pissed off by the offense and Nathaniel Hackett's a boob and whatever else, he could have very easily just let that stuff sit there. He didn't.
Well, I mean, like what I hear in that answer, he's questioning the offense and the creativity. That's what I hear in that answer.
Okay. Well, we disagree on
maybe,
it.
Maybe he's not mean-spirited about it. Maybe he's not really pointing it at anybody, but that I hear a frustrated, hey, I watch a lot of football on Sunday. We don't do a lot of stuff. I'm running a different route tree.
He wasn't running a different route tree.
No,
he said he was running the same route tree as he did the last couple of years.
He said he was running a different route tree from the last
couple
of years.
I thought at the end he was like, I've been doing this. It's been the same route tree. I could have sworn.
You know, I truly think that we are not trying. I don't think we're trying a lot of different things. I know personally, I haven't, you know, my route tree hasn't been what it's been on the last 2 years. As far as
my route tree hasn't been on the last 2 years. That's what I'm telling you. Does that change your mind?
No.
See, I hear both, honestly.
I hear a frustrated wide receiver. That's what I hear. And I hear, like, you know, and then when you go back to all these breakdowns and everything, because I saw all those, and you see the frustration on, you know, the body language, I guess, which we're not allowed to discuss for whatever reason. But, yeah, the body language tells me we're frustrated. That's what it tells me.
I'm going to give you one more before I get out of here because I haven't had a chance to play this yet.
When Devontae gets here next week, they'll be fine.
Well, and speaking of Devontae Adams, he has requested the trade. He was on Up and Adams, as we know. Okay, fine.
So now he takes the Raiders off the hook. The Raiders are now off the hook.
Yeah, I guess because he's requested the trade after Antonio Pierce liked that tweet and he talked about. Okay,
business
fine.
Business decision. A lot of business decisions going on out there in
business
Vegas.
Business decisions. Is this, if you're the player in the room, you hear this, you're Devontae Adams, the way he's referenced here by Antonio Pierce yesterday afternoon.
Plans with Max and Devontae at practice this week, and is Michael Mayer back in the building?
With Max and 17, all depends on where they're at health wise. As of right now, status quo, and Mike is still dealing with personal.
Mike and 17.
Yes. Would that bother you if it was with?
He's annoyed at 17.
So you whatever read it the reason, same way.
Look, I'm not out there. I'm not in that locker room. I don't know why he missed the game last week. I don't know. I don't know any of that.
Interesting.
Again, I'm speculating that 17 ain't going to be there longer.
We shall see.
Especially if 17 is outwardly, openly talking about being traded right now. So if you're the head coach of a player who's disgruntled and doesn't want to be there, you're not going to be very happy with what he's saying.
Liberty beat the Aces 88-84. Sun lost to the Lynx as the playoffs continue.
Yeah, I heard Peter Schwartz completely butcher Sabrina Ionescu's name this morning on that 5 o'clock update. Ionescu is what he went with. So there's like 10 players in the WNBA.
Hey, at least he was saying it.
Well, you kind of have to. It's the playoffs, and it's in New York. What do you mean, at least you were saying it? I mean, Jerry said it.
Yeah. I talked to a buddy of mine who went to the game last night. Well, how many fans showed up? Was it sold out?
Sure. I can find out. I don't know. I didn't look.
How do you not know that off the top of your head, Jerry? You got to know that stuff off the top of your head.
I honestly have no idea.
I mean, come on. What are you here for? I'm kidding.
I usually do check, too, but not in the playoffs. And I'll tell you why I didn't check, too. I did notice that there were people posting how lit Barclays Center was last night.
All right, so there you go. So it was lit up.
Yeah, it was lit.
Well, that was a good game. That was a good game.
It was a good game. 88-84, yes.
Attendance 14,321.
Okay.
That's what I got.
It's lit.
Pretty good. What was it, 19, I think?
Yeah.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I'm going to say a bunch of words consecutively, and all of it is true. And I don't think there's a weirder life track that I can think of for a particular person than what I'm about to say. Former NBA player Lamar Odom,
who once was airlifted out of a whorehouse for overdosing, is now using salmon sperm on his face. All those things are true.
You think he's caught up in the Diddy stuff?
I don't.
You know?
I don't. Because he's out there telling everybody he is rubbing salmon sperm on his face for anti-aging purposes.
Okay.
So I don't think you do that if you're wrapped up in the Diddy stuff. I think you're quiet.
Aren't the Kardashians and all, aren't they all mixed up in this or no?
See, I'm not so sure. This one, for whatever reason, here's why I'm not as wrapped up in it now. Because this is the stage where everybody's name is thrown into it. Everybody wants this guy to go down, that guy to go down, and I don't know what to believe. So every time I see it, I'm like, let me get more details, let me hear stuff, whatever. And I know there's been a million accusers out there. I don't know, I don't know or think the Kardashians are involved, but
there are 120 people that have filed lawsuits,
yeah,
against him. And that, remember that Texas-based lawyer Tony Busby?
Yeah, he was the guy who was involved with Deshaun Watson, right?
Right. He was the guy going after Deshaun Watson with the civil lawsuits.
Right, yeah.
So now he's the guy that is these pending civil lawsuits. He revealed yesterday that he's representing 120 accusers who are bringing allegations of violent sexual assault and rape, facilitated sex with a controlled substance, dissemination of video recordings, and several sexual abuse of minor cases against P. Diddy.
Just absolutely atrocious.
And he basically also said, it's a long list already, but because of the nature of this case, we're going to make damn sure that we're right before we do that. But the names that we're going to name are names that will shock you.
Yeah, I mean, this guy loves grabbing a headline. I mean, I'm sure Diddy's guilty of a lot of stuff. But anytime I see that Tony Busby name out there, I'm like, this guy's just, you know, he just jumps on these things to get his name out there half the time. But good thing for Diddy is, you know, maybe he can play in the NFL like Deshaun Watson. So maybe if this doesn't work out for him, he can be the quarterback for maybe the Carolina Panthers or something. Because Deshaun Watson had just as many sexual allegations against him.
I think the minor pedophilia stuff ain't going to...
Well, obviously, I'm being facetious here.
I know.
But yes, he's going to go to jail for a long time, or he's going to kill himself, or somebody's going to kill him. One of those three things will happen.
And according to his lawyer, Diddy's lawyer, he says he wants to go on the stand. He wants to tell his side of the story.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Hail Mary spot, you know? Doesn't sound like he's got really a lot of options. And they've been doing this for a long... This is going on for years now about the investigation and then the raid of his homes. And I mean, there's video evidence out there. I mean, they already got the video of him beating his girlfriend in that elevator bay.
And which is what started this whole thing. And by the way, there are 60 cases that have been brought by men, 60 by women. And the incidents span going as far back as 1991. 25 of the accusers were minors when they were allegedly assaulted by Combs.
Yep. By the way, did you know the story behind pop star Sabrina Carpenter? Well, she was the catalyst in a weird way to open up the investigation on Eric Adams, which got him indicted. Do you know this?
I did not know this, but Sydney was telling me the other day she was going to go see her in concert.
Right. So,
like, what? Now you're telling me this?
Yeah, so Sabrina Carpenter did a video for one of her songs in a church in one of the boroughs. I think it was Brooklyn. And she's dancing around provocatively in this church. So, turns out, not everybody that was involved in the church was happy that their church was used for something like this.
Okay.
So there was an investigation into why they were allowed to use this church and who got paid off to use this church. And in that investigation, they found all sorts of paper trails of Eric Adams taking money that he shouldn't be taking, because the guy that was involved in setting up this church thing for the Sabrina Carpenter video had his tentacles and all sorts of stuff.
It kind of makes me understand why he's going to the clergy now to back him up.
Yeah.
By the way, but I guess at a concert at Madison Square Garden on Sunday night, Sabrina Carpenter joked about how she got the mayor indicted.
Yeah, so that's how I heard about it. Because she said that, and I'm like, what? And then I looked into it, and I figured it out. So, yeah, insane. Insane stuff. So there you go. And by the way, Mayor Adams put out on X. Can you imagine the gall? Like, let's go Yankees. He put out on X.
Oh,
he's like, let's go rep BX. Let's go Yankees. I'm like, are you nuts?
Well,
like every comment's like, you're not in jail yet, homie. Like, all this stuff.
You know what? Your favorite governor basically told him to clean house.
Clean house.
And then a couple of the people that have worked for him got married just randomly this past weekend. He is knee deep in it, and he is just going to keep fighting and fighting and fighting.
Yeah, good luck.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.